Joe Sestak, welcome to NewsWorks Tonight. What's the heart of your pitch? Why do you need to be the next senator?
I want to serve again. I want to bring that high level of service I learned in the military over those 31 years and that I actually did in Congress as a congressman, where you were working for people, working for them, helping them. We kept my office open 7 days a week to 9 o'clock during the recession as a congressman. 18,000 of my constituents walked in. Homes were in foreclosures. Their savings were evaporated. That's four times the number of other congressional offices. That's what we did. Most productive congressmen. 20 pieces of legislation that were passed. I want to serve the people of Pennsylvania and be a warrior for them in the Senate. Not for party, for them.
If you had to pick an issue that you want to make sure you pursue in the Senate, what would it be?
Trust. That's why I did the walk across Pennsylvania. Look at what's happening on the presidential level. People don't trust anymore. And if we don't resolve that to where we're able to have trust of the people once again in a public servant that's going to be accountable to them, open and responsible to them, even when things go wrong, whether it's not finding the weapons of mass destruction in Iraq or the meltdown on Wall Street, who's been held accountable? That more than anything I want to do. But yes, I understand it's about job creation by getting the money for the startups of small businesses, create 70% of all jobs. And yet, we are only creating half as many small businesses today as we did in the mid-70s. And last, education. It's our homeland defense. I will do everything to be on the Education Committee to make it affordable and accessible to all.
When you say trust, are you talking about an institutional change or are you talking about electing people with integrity?
Electing people who have integrity of service. Do I think the system is broken on both parties? Yeah, I do. I think that's why people are leaping over, unfortunately, and saying, well, Trump seems to be yelling at the system. It's why I walked across the state 422 miles. I wanted the people to know I'd walk in their shoes, be accountable to them. It's like a captain of a ship. When I was in the Navy, that captain is given more authority and responsibility than any other person on the crew. But if that person that also has accountability going with it is looked as above being accountable, if the crew comes to harm or the ship goes aground, who's going to trust that captain if he's not held accountable? I want to be accountable not just for what I say, but for what I do. And that's why when I went to Congress, we kept the office open 7 days a week for those 18,000 constituents to come in even at 9 o'clock on a Sunday night. And when I went to Congress, I passed 20 pieces of legislation my first 2 years called the Most Productive Congressman, the first movement of money into autism to help families with autistic children, the first Elder Abuse Act in 17 years because I had to sue Wachovia Bank because it wouldn't return the money. It knowingly let telemarketers rip off from seniors in my district. I want to be accountable for doing things for people. That's trust.
You had a long career in the military, became an advisor to President Clinton, worked on counterterrorism in the Bush administration. You left in 2005, and during the last campaign, there was some question about why. Why did you leave?
Well, my daughter had brain cancer. But also, as you know, the Chief of Naval Operations, who I work for, came in and answered that question. He said Joe Sestak was a patriot's patriot. He said he was the one who would stand up in a meeting when everybody else agreed on the way forward and said, wait a minute, I don't see it that way. And he said, yeah, there was some retribution, he said, because remember, I was the guy, the admiral, that said, we don't need 12 aircraft carriers. We need 9, because an aircraft carrier today can strike 10 times the targets in 24 hours as you do over 10 years ago. And second, I said, we don't need 55 submarines. We only need 34. Why? Because we can't find the Chinese or the Iranian submarines with them. But here's a new magnetic anomaly device they can for less price. As he said, there was some retribution, as there is right now as I'm walking from in this naval area. There's some retribution right now as I stood up to my party when they asked me to sit down against Spectre, and it still lingers today. Look, that's what, Dave, I meant by trust. Are you accountable to the people for what's needed to do, even at the risk of your job? It's why I did not run for my congressional seat simultaneously as I was running for the U.S. Senate. I said, it's not about my job. It's about service and people's jobs.
There are three other candidates in the race, and two of them have a lot of positions that you seem to agree with as you watch the debates, progressive positions, Democratic positions. How do you distinguish yourself from McGinty and Mr. Fetterman?
I don't. I focus on looking at Senator Toomey and what he doesn't bring to the table and what I can bring in response to him. Look, Senator Toomey voted to send me to war. He came to visit my aircraft carrier. I have a picture of him with Paul Ryan. He was a little chubbier then, but he came back then as we were bombing away in the war, and he voted against 10 appropriations bills for our veterans appropriations. And I disagree with that. So that's how I do it. To me, it isn't just winning the war. It's securing the peace. And in a sense, securing the peace, making sure things are more peaceful and prosperous for our citizens is focusing on that general election.
When you say he voted to send you to war, you're talking about the Iraq war.
Yes,
he was then in Congress.
Yes, and he voted for that, came out and visited my aircraft carrier, have a picture with him, told the troops they were doing well, came back and voted against 10 Veterans Administration appropriations bill, also voted against the standalone jobs bill a few years ago, also voted against the standalone mental health and benefits bill. I go to a prison every year, both as a congressman I did it and now, because I don't want to think my vets in Grady for prison, for example, think I forgot them. Many are there because we didn't take care of them when they came home. That's why, Dave, I focus on what needs to be done. Have a senator that represents people, vets to seniors, protecting their Social Security and Medicare. That's where my focus is.
You mentioned Senator Toomey's votes on appropriations for veterans. As you know, there are lots of votes in Congress, and people can generally look at records carefully and find moments in which you may have voted for something, and the response might be that that was a measure which included other provisions that were objectionable. I mean, is it really – are you cherry-picking votes?
Absolutely not. Just think about this. Senator Toomey is the only senator or congressman, Republican or Democrat, in the Pennsylvania that's voted to shut down government three times, who actually submitted a bill that said, hey, look, let's not fix our debt issue ourselves. Let's just break the ceiling and pay China first. He actually has a bill that would pay our foreign debts over there before taking care of Social Security and Medicare. And you know what? When you added $2 trillion to our debt, by voting to send us to war, to our debt, and then say, I'm not going to vote for the VA bill. I'm not going to vote for the transportation bill. I'm not going to vote for the NIH that takes care of autism and Alzheimer's because it's going to add to our debt. No, there's a difference in it. I believe government of the people should work for the people. It shouldn't be closed down.
Some have questioned whether you're committed to choice for women, and they point to an interview you did in 2010 with KDKA Radio in which you were asked whether you opposed federal funding for abortion, and you said, yes, you did, and that's why you supported the Hyde Amendment. Is that still your view?
Yeah. The principal compromise back in the 70s, which still exists today, and which we also extended with the President Obama's and the Democratic support, was that the Hyde Amendment would still be honored through it. But I did say that if you were, you know, because I've been supported by NARAL and Planned Parenthood and now because I do believe it is a woman's choice. In fact, as you may know, Dave, I can't visit my Catholic high school because the old cardinal who used to be here just told the principal I'm not allowed to go back because of my position of supporting women's choice. And so I do believe, though, that a woman service member who's overseas and may be in a fairly desolate area stationed, that a federal hospital there, government hospital, military hospital, may be the only place that she could safely do it. That I support. But, you know, we made sure in the Affordable Care Act that people could get the kind of choice they needed by honoring the Hyde Amendment there. So, no, that's why I've been completely supported by Planned Parenthood and now, and also...
You've talked a lot about national security. You have experience in this area. What do you want to tell us about dealing with ISIS and international terrorism and what you can do about it in the Senate?
Yes, I think that there are four principles people have to keep in mind. Diplomacy matters. Look at the Iranian Accord. And Iran actually helps support terrorism, and yet we were able to kick out of that country through diplomacy that hurt through economic sanctions their ability last year to have four bombs, nuclear bombs, in only 30 days. Second, No nation goes it alone. When I commanded an aircraft carrier battle group in Afghanistan as we were bombing away, I had 30 ships, only 20 were foreign ships, 10 were mine. We need to lead coalitions together. Third, national security is undergirded by economic security. And finally, we need the proper military, which more specifically gets to your point. Today, we are measuring, as you brought up the Navy question earlier, our prowess in how many ships, rather than what is the capability to you need by new innovative means to see submarines are moving down there, because our sonar doesn't work in the Persian Gulf. We can't find the 19 midget submarines. So change our military. With regard to terrorism, we really should recognize that ISIS is not just an international terrorist organization. It is a state, an illegitimate one. It controls population the size of Norway, land the size of Belgium. And so what we have to do is knock the legs out from under it by the proper airstrikes on the crude oil, as well as making sure that we destroy the money exchanges where it gets over $3 billion a year. Second, make sure through diplomacy, which I brought up as a principle, and these are the kinds of backgrounds I want to bring to the Senate where you don't have it on either party, that you actually can lead through a coalition, Russia and Iran and other nations, often adversarial to us, to do the groundwork. That's the proper diplomatic approach.
The Senate's a place where relationships matter a lot. And as you know, most of the Democratic establishment in this state has been against you in this race, perhaps because of your decision in 2010 to enter the primary against Arlen Specter. Should it raise a concern about your ability to work with others that so many of these folks have come out against you? I know you say principle matters, not party bosses, but why do you think it's been hard to mend those fences?
Well, the issue is that I work very well within the establishment, although I may not agree with the establishment. And the you can see it actually in my track record. That's why service, past service, matters of how you'll do in the future. So I was called the most productive congressman my first 2 years down in Congress, in the House of Representatives, by the majority leader of the Democratic Party, Steny Hoyer. 20 pieces of legislation passed, bipartisan, such as taking care of traumatic brain injury, working with a Republican who was an occupational therapist to get better forgiveness of loans for those who become occupational special therapists. So that track record shows I can. In fact, the next 2 years, Dave, I had a similar number of pieces of legislation work. So the issue is here is, can you separate achievement in what matters to people, policy, and keeping your office open for them to come in, four times the number of constituents to help out in a recession as the average constituent office, as opposed to politics? You're right. Politics be damned. I focus on what people need. And when I got to Congress, primarily a lot due to how I approach things in a way, I was able to work within the establishment to be called the most productive congressman. And I'll do the same in the United States Senate.
For Democrats, control of the Senate is a big deal. And beating the Republican Pat Toomey is a big deal. You ran and lost to him 6 years ago. Why will this time be different for you?
Well, as you know, we lost by a whisker. And yet we had the biggest funding gap in the entire nation of any governor's or Senate race, except for one governor, California. And five other statewide candidates for governor lost by almost 10, and five incumbent congressional Democrats sweep swap over by 11. The fact we came so close without any help from the establishment down in Washington, D.C. and others, very little minimum, shows that in a very angry year of the Tea Party, man, you can, if you have the right strategy, focused on people, win. Look, if I get the same percentage, if I had gotten the same percentage of Democrats, Republicans, and Independents in 2010, if I had gotten that percentage in 2012, we would have beat President Obama by 5 points. So you remember it, Dave, tough year, but yet we came so close. Because we did the same in my Republican district, 56% Republican, 33% Democrat.
Yeah,
we won that first race, become the second Democratic congressman since the Civil War by 12 points. We won my second race after raising $3.5 million, but we didn't spend any of it except for advertising, except for yard signs. After the race, I had millions of dollars left over, and we won by 20 points Republican district. Why? because we focused on people. And that is why there's a lack of trust today in politicians. They focus on their own job or they're worried to take a courageous stand on something. And I fear that the absence of titans in the Senate today is actually why the Trumps of the world are filling the air with stuff that is leading us astray. I think you need someone who stands for people and can actually accomplish something, as I did as a congressman, as the most productive congressman. And yet always I was willing to stand up to the establishment, both in the Navy and also right here in Pennsylvania, if need be, because it's worth losing your job if you're a public servant to take care of people.
Joe Sestak, thanks so much.
Thank you very much, Dave, for having me.